Today on Real Radio.
We don't know everything that happened to him, but he was so brutally beaten. He was so left for dead. He was so shipwrecked. He spent day and a night in the open ocean in a storm hanging onto, I guess, a piece of wood. And that Mediterranean's got sharks in it on top of it. And he's out there bobbing around little Paul, serving the Lord. Can you imagine? I don't know. Satan saying to you, hey, how's your God treating you now?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote many letters to first century churches, but they're not all created equal. Historians and exegetes agree that Paul's letter to the Philippians was by far the one most reflective of having the joy of being a believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation that explores such passages. It's called The Discipline of Delight.
And so I want to give you this verse. This is an awesome, wonderful verse. It's Psalm 37:4. It's a very famous verse. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Keep it up on the screen for a minute. Look at it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I believe that's true because it's Bible. But as soon as I read that verse, I almost want to apologize for it because it sounds carnal. Hey, are you kidding me? If I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me everything that I want that's in my heart? You got to read a little deeper. Delight yourself also, what? In the Lord. Not in the Nordstrom's catalog. Delight yourself in the home goods catalog or the Lowe's. No, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Meaning this, that if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you catch the glow of his face, listen, young people, this is going to sound nuts to you, but actually get alone with no technology. What? Take the phone out of your pocket. Go put it in another room. Seriously, take the headphones out of your ears. Go to another place without any wires connected to you. And get alone and just begin to pray and talk to him and say, Lord, I want to do what Jack was talking about Wednesday night. Help me, God. Help me. I want to think about you. What do I know about you? I know that you're holy. I know that you're light. I know that you're love. God, I know that you are... You're pure and that you're powerful. Start talking to him. Watch what happens. Have you taken the time to meet him? Watch what happens when all of a sudden he begins to turn on the glow like he did with Moses. He'll begin to pour on the light in your life. And you'll come out of that place of being alone and you'll be completely pumped up for the day or for the challenge or for the issue. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And then when it says he'll give you the desires of your heart, it means this. He's not going to give you a Ferrari so you can drive to church faster. That's not what it means. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. It means that as you are delighting just in the person that he is, he begins, as Charles Spurgeon put it, mind you, he begins to have intercourse with your heart. It's the deepest relationship that you can experience with God. He begins to change you from glory to glory, from the inside out, a new creation in Christ. Something begins to happen. And the things, as we sing in the old hymn, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The stuff, all the problems, all the issues, the people stuff, the drama in your life, the issues, the finances, the marriage, the kids, all begin to be shaken and sifted, and only that which is worthy remains, and you have a much more clear understanding of what you ought to do when you come out of his presence. When you come out of his presence, you always have a clear direction of where you should go now, rather than a life that's seemingly confused all the time. Get alone with him. Why? Mark it down. Number one, delight does this. It develops contentment in our hearts. It develops contentment in our hearts. Will you write that down? In Philippians 4:11, we read it, of course. We'll look at it more deeply right now. It says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, the word is confirmed by experience in whatever state I'm in, to be content. What a wealthy place to be. Imagine how free you can be if Christ rules and reigns your heart. You don't have to get the next greatest thing on the magazine cover this month to keep your identity or your worth going. No. Your identity's in Christ, and now you've learned something, that there's a confirming experience. And what is it, Paul? What is it? In whatever condition, whatever situation that I'm in, I have found this out. I'm content. Wow. Honestly, think, what if we all lost our homes right now? Boom, gone. You say, that would never happen. Let me remind you, you live in Southern California, where the earth moves under your feet. And you say, well, that'll never, hey, listen, it could happen. What would you do then? What would we do? First of all, whatever we do, we'd be doing it together. Huh? Which would be kind of cool if you think about it, because you think, I tell you, our Christianity would grow so much in 1 month of having to live with one another. Can you imagine? You'd know who's the servant around here anyway. Man, what are you going to hang up those socks or what? What's your name anyway? Dude, Bob, your socks stink. You would know one another. And here's somebody griping, grumbling, complaining. Let me tell you something, man. You've got to make it work. And Paul says, I've learned in whatever condition I'm in, I'm content. Paul's the guy you'd want to go camping with, because he makes it work. Contentment. Can you say that you're content tonight? Can you say that with how much money you make, your hourly pay, whatever it might be, that you're content? How about some of you who are older? Remember that money you were going to retire on? Gone. I'd been investing in the stock market since I was 18 years old. And I'm a little freak about that kind of stuff. And I got everything worked out. And I'm going to, and then when this happens, I'm going to tell, I'll be able to retire, you know, when I'm 43 years old. And that didn't happen. That's okay. When I'm 56, I won't have to have any income. That didn't happen. Now when I'm 109, maybe I'll get a snow cone. It's all gone. What are you going to do? Hey, when all the financial stuff came down, because there was a lack of contentment, which, by the way, we should launch an outreach to Wall Street, don't you think? We should be preaching in front of Wall Street. Wall Street executives were putting bullets through their head, because their world had evaporated. And the Bible says, watch out, for in a moment, money can sprout wings and fly away, says the Bible. And that's exactly what happened. Are you content with the home you have, or your husband or your wife, or this or that? Listen, it's a matter of your heart, not their heart. Some of you are married to non-believers. Some of you tell me, I think I married Satan. And it's your contentment in Christ that will get you through that relationship. Don't be surprised. Listen, you don't have to worry about going to the foreign mission field to lead somebody to Christ if you married the devil. You just stay true, stay firm, and you witness to that person, and they are your mission field. I know that you'd sign up to go to the next trip to Africa. Or where's the church going next? Haiti. I'm signing up. Why? I want to get away from my husband. That doesn't work, and that's not good. But delight develops a contentment of the heart. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Woo! That's awesome. What a beautiful verse that is. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You have to remember this over and over again. And I know that's easy to say. Jesus put it this way. Now listen carefully. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things do the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God." And you young people, you thinking about life, future, ministry, I want you to hear these Sunday mornings. God has been faithful. We've been unfaithful. God's been faithful. We've been dopes. He's been amazing. But if your heart is open to follow him, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. That is a promise given by Jesus. The letters are written and read in your Bible. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own stuff. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Don't be worrying about tomorrow. God says, "You follow me and I'll take care of tomorrow." That is an absolute fact. Did you guys hear me? Oh no. What? Next month? You don't even know if you're going to be alive next month. Next month what? Trust him, seek him, put him first, watch what happens. He will never let you down, ever. He has never let us down. He has never let you down. If you think he's let you down, he didn't let you down. He just didn't answer the way you wanted him to answer, because he knew that if he gave you that thing, you'd hurt yourself with it. Right? I mean, it's true. Okay, here's a great passage of scripture. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, starting there. 1 Timothy 6, 6, Paul says, "Now godliness with contentment is great wealth," great gain. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out." That's a verse for Wall Street. "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." But how much clothing? See, this is the American view. How much food? Like freezers in the garage, stuff full? Like steak? What? No. And then clothes, how much clothes? Like 400 pairs of shoes or what? No. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." That means their pursuit for wealth destroys their lives and then sucks them down into hell. Wow. "For the love of money," money's not evil. What is? "The love of it is evil." Money can be great if you use it for God's glory. "But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So delight develops contentment in our hearts, but how does it do that? Well, by recognizing and truly believing this next verse. Jot it down before we move to the second point. It's 1 Corinthians 10:26. 1 Corinthians 10:26 is true. It's in the Bible. It's for real. "For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." And I want you to underline fullness. It's great. The earth is the Lord's, and every bit of sand and everything that you can even imagine regarding this earth, it's his. The sparrows are his. The clouds are his. In fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament that the Lord uses the clouds to ride upon. Don't you like that kind of talk? I like that. There's nothing you cannot think of in this world that's not his. That's why it's funny to see people. I'm sorry. I think as you get older, you get kind of sarcastic with the way you see things. Because you look in a magazine. You're looking at, I don't know, and it's some ad, and it shows some guy, you know, it's so funny because he's got these incredibly ripped abs, okay, and he's basically, you know, pretty much hairless, ripped abs, wearing all this Gucci clothes on, you know. The dude's like 13 years old, and he's got his sunglasses like... And there's a Learjet behind him. Have you seen the commercials like that? And there's like a Bentley car parked right there. The guy's not even old enough to park the car. And he's like selling like cologne. It's like Armani. And he's like this. And it's, who are they fooling? You think, oh my, okay. Do you see people like that really? It's absolutely hilarious. But the world says, this is what you gotta be like. This is the meaning of life. It's an absolute joke. The Lord owns it all. For people to act like they own it. Wouldn't it be great to go to Bel Air? We should take a field trip there on a Wednesday night. Go to Bel Air, go grab one of those big gates, you know, Sylvester Stallone's house, and say, hey, the Lord owns this house. You know, let us in. The Lord owns the house. But people, when you get deceived by that, you walk around and you begin to think you can't smile. Why? Because I'm somebody. I'm really rich and important. You can't smile when you're rich and important. I guess you have to. I saw Kobe Bryant at Disneyland. He looked all bummed. Why? Well, he looked bummed. He's a bazillionaire. He's one of the most famous faces in the world. And he's at Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And he's like this. Dude, you're Kobe Bryant. You're a bazillionaire. You can buy Disneyland. Cheer up. He needs Jesus. Kobe needs Jesus. You don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. No, you don't tell me that. I've got all this stuff. You've got nothing. It's all going to burn. You can't take it with you. Jesus will never leave you. You can't take this world with you. Point number two, delight strengthens our faith in God. Delight strengthens our faith in God. This is amazing because here it is. Listen, we choose to delight in the Lord. And we all experience this. When something happens in life, in a split second, you will choose to go carnal, flesh, freak out, or follow the Lord. And sometimes, listen, it may be also, something happens, and then you realize, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. God's on the throne. It's going to be okay. You know what I'm talking about? And then there's some people that are just amazing. The, you know, place blows up, and they just go, praise the Lord. It's all good. I'm not like that. I'm like, I like to, you know, shoot, aim, and figure out what's going on, you know? But we're all different. He didn't die for our personalities. He died for our sins. But the thing is that we all meet at a common place, and that place is Christ. And we delight in him. The Lord knows the things that are coming to our world. The Lord knows. I forgot them. I was going to bring you two magazines, Newsweek and Time. Newsweek and Time magazine. Time magazine says, America is back, the amazing economic recovery of the United States. Yeah. And the other one says, the broken states of America, how 50 states are going bankrupt. Two opposite magazines. And that's a perfect commentary on the direction of this nation. Nobody knows what's up in the world. Nobody knows what's up. And there's one group saying, we're fine, we recovered. We're fine, we recovered. And the other group has got its face in the mud and it's just saying, it's over, it's over. And then the Christian says, hey, hey, hey. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God's in control. And listen, at the end of the day and at the end of time, remember this, if you're not a Christian here tonight and you love to make fun of Christians, Christians are really fun to make fun of. I mean, you know, we're great. But here's the thing. At the end of life, at the end of time, at the end of the day, we wind up being on top, not because we made it, is because our God sees us to the top. He'll get us there. And everything that you're doing, striving to get to the top, and your claws are on the wall trying to make it up, okay? God takes the Christian and goes, bink. Just like a little kid, pick him up and put him on the wall. It's pretty amazing. To delight in him, it strengthens our faith. In Philippians 4:12, look at the next verse. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to hardly ever get a chance to have some food, Paul says. I know how to spend time in jail. Paul was in jail many times. I know how to get beat up. Isn't that amazing? Paul says, yeah, I know how to get flogged with a Roman cat of nine tails. I've been left for dead. I got stoned and they threw me on the side of the road thinking I was dead. Paul says, I've learned that. Can you imagine if Paul showed up tonight? Door opens up. Sanctuary doors open up. Paul walks down here. Hey, what's going on? Church. Oh, yeah? Can you imagine? He'd be all scarred up. According to church history, he's kind of ugly. His eyes were really ridiculously close together. He had a big, sharp, hooked nose. And he was bow-legged, short, bald-headed, and his eyes were sore, pussy from eye infection. That's why he had to have his letters dictated often. Not always, but often. Can you imagine Paul showing up? Hey, and he starts to talk to us about things. You know what he'd say? I know, I want to tell you guys. I remember being so beat up that Luke spent a month putting me back together. Dr. Luke, we don't know everything that happened to him, but he was so brutally beaten. He was so left for dead. He was so shipwrecked. He spent day and a night in the open ocean in a storm hanging onto, I guess, a piece of wood. And that Mediterranean's got sharks in it on top of it. And he's out there bobbing around little Paul, serving the Lord. Can you imagine? I don't know, Satan saying to you, hey, how's your God treating you now? Think about that. Paul would have said, shut up. I'm serving my God if I get swallowed by a shark or shipwrecked or whatever. How do you stop a guy like that? We should all be like that. We've got 2,000 years of experience to glean from, and we walk around, oh. No. Delighting in the Lord strengthens our faith in God. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's a military term. Garrison your heart with forces. Get your mind under control. Stop goofing off. Get your emotions under control. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Isn't that great? Paul encouraged himself in the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Delight. A look at what God's written word says about being content with what the Almighty has provided the believer through the good, the bad, the ugly. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you can hear this presentation again. Just visit realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org and scroll down to the tab that says Today's Broadcast. Well, we've now surpassed the 10-year mark of 9/11, and here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, we held our own Night of Remembrance and Night of Hope, and featured Congressman Bob McEwen. And just to give you an idea of how informative and well-connected Bob McEwen is, he served on the Intelligence Committee under two presidents, and we had the privilege of having him speak at our 9/11 service. And now you have the privilege of seeing and hearing Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD. We'll send you our 9/11 memorial service featuring Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD for your gift to the radio outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So call, click, or write. You can visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.